I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, yes, people. Welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast. And this is episode 3 of season 2, series 2, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I am your host, Corin, aka The Last Skeptic. This episode was recorded in Los Angeles, California, in May 2018, with my two good friends, Beat Butcher, who just as this was recorded, he'd produced Salud for Beyonce and Jay-Z on their album, as well as a list of production credits for the likes of Rick Ross and Jadakiss and Xzibit and all types of people, and Mobb Deep, come on, how could I forget? And Butcher's one of my oldest pals, so it's an honour to have him on, alongside Nick Sager, one of the illest actors around, who absolutely killed it in Queen of the South. If you haven't seen it, make sure you go watch every episode on Netflix right now. I hadn't seen it when I recorded this episode, and since then I binged the fuck out of it. And trust me, it was worth it. There's 10 episodes in this season that I'm going to be dropping every single week, so please hit me up as you're listening and you're loving the podcast, and share it with your friends and tell me what you think should be in Under the Patio. So hit me up and enjoy the podcast. Big up.
Okay, cool. We have drinks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of the Thanks for Trying podcast, recorded live.
Hey, yeah, do.
From Beverly Hills, with my very special guests, Nick Sager and the Beat Butcher.
So I'm gassed.
I'm in Beverly Hills for a start. You know, I'm just doing a little, this is my monologue. This is my Jimmy Fallon monologue.
Get it, man.
So I grew up watching Clueless.
That was my shit.
Loved Clueless. Grew up watching Beverly Hills 90210, the original series with Jason Priestley, Dylan, whatever his real name was, and Tiffany Amber Thyssen. No, that was Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, was that Kelly Kapowski?
Kelly Kapowski and Screech. Oh, yeah. Zach Morris, yeah. Famous in Beverly Hills. But it's just quite exciting to be here because I feel like constantly I'm in a movie.
Yeah.
Nick, you've been here for quite some time.
Yeah, but it's like 10 years now.
10 fucking years. And of course, you are a Brit.
Hell yeah.
When did you come over here? Like, what was the transition?
I was, 21? I think it was 2009. Growing up East London, I'd been there my whole life, never really traveled. Then I just got the opportunity. It's like, to come out here and start, you know, the acting career over here. And I didn't even look back, man. I was like, yep. And just got out of there.
What was the first thing you did acting-wise?
When I first come, I did like 1-2 commercials here and there. But it's probably, I had a small stint on NCIS Los Angeles, yeah. Which was sick. My little opening to the world over here.
Were you a corpse?
I almost became a corpse, but no, what? I was just this college dude kissing up on his girl at the start, and then we get the security guard killed because he's chasing us, and then they put chloroform on him. Yeah, it's one of those.
Sick.
One of those.
I feel like if you make it through an episode of NCIS not dying,
yeah,
then you know.
Yeah, I thought they were going to bring me back, but I'm still waiting.
But you still could be brought back.
Yeah, 9 years later. As a detective.
From Lipson to solving crimes.
Yeah, that's the come up of all come ups.
Wow. And so speaking of Lipson, I mean, it has to be mentioned because I give you not shit for it because I'm just jealous, frankly. You've been shooting a new film. But I mean, it's probably be out by the time this podcast is out. Yeah. For Netflix with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, cheeky little Christmas number.
What's it like working with the Hudgens?
You know what? She's wonderful, man. Honestly, damn. So down to earth. Oh, yeah, I know. I never knew what to. Well, you never know what to expect with anyone. People probably said the same thing, you know, if it was me. But she was so dope, so down to earth. You know, so open, giving. She was blessed, man. She made that a real good experience
in Lithuania. Yeah.
Romania. One of the Anias.
Anias. Yeah. WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh, now we're going there. Sick. WrestleMania in Romania. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I bumped into her once when I played Coachella, and I went up to the bar, and she was stood at the bar, and I thought, oh, my God, this is my chance. This is my chance for Vanessa Hudgens. And I went, I rolled up. And I was like, bought a climb of soda, turned around and went, hey. And she looked at me and like, raised her eyebrows.
Did she think you were
and walked away?
Did she think you were Jason Statham?
Yeah, I think that must have been it.
No, you should have hit it with a line from Transport, man. That would have worked.
I should have fucking done it, man. I should have done that. Elliot Dubok, aka
Here we go. Fucking government name.
The Beat Butcher. I mean, you know, it's difficult to talk to you because I've spoken to you nonstop for about 15 years. But firstly, obviously, for on the record, you know, I say it because I've been that cunt that introduces you and says this to everyone as I introduce you. You obviously produced the best song taken from the Beyonce and Jay-Z record, Salud, which is just fucking amazing. So congratulations.
Oh, shucks. The best. I don't know if it's the best.
Sorry, yeah. Did I say sorry, the most average. No, it's a fucking best record. It's so sick.
It's a banger.
It's a banger. And so yeah, so you've come out here.
Yep.
To LA. I'd come out here fucking killing it. How has it been? You know, like, I know all the answers to these things, but I'm trying to do the interview and
Of course, yeah, yeah. I've got to pretend I don't know you. I haven't known you for 15 years. Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
How's it been working with Americans, to be honest? Like, I mean, you know, I never really ask you about that, but
well, yeah, I mean, obviously I've been working with Americans for a long time, like 10 years or something like that. Yeah, it's great. I mean, obviously, like, without sounding like a bitter guy, I prefer working with Americans than UK guys. They're
totally
a lot more professional
that.
For yeah. some reason. I don't like things have probably changed since
no, they haven't
since
changed.
The UK hip hop days. Like
no, it's all the same still. Know, but exactly the same. So what you find that they're a lot more direct, like in conducting business or
things lead to a lot more when you're working on, you know, when you're working with your Rick Rosses or your fucking. You know, your Beyonce and Jay-Z's or whatever. There's more, you get more from it than, yeah, I'm not going to name any names, but you know what I mean? You know, working with whoever like I may have worked with back in the day. Yeah. Yeah. Without trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get beef with anyone, but
of course.
Obviously with the kind of music that I make
also,
as well.
Also, do you feel more creative? Because I don't know about you, but like out here, I feel like I could do fucking anything I want in LA. It's probably the same with acting. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot less judgment.
I think your platform, if you make music or any sort of art out here, is bigger.
Yeah.
As much as there's more opportunities and stuff, there's also like just a bigger, you know, just a bigger screen. People are watching, you know, more people are watching what you do. Mm-hmm. So there's more things that you could do off of the back of what you do. Do you know what I mean?
So do you do an American accent? Because you're in Queen of the South as well, right? And I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen loads of people raving about it, like crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's... The Mandem in the ends love it as well. when you see it though, you'll know why.
Because I saw like Screwfizzer, like he was talking about it the other day. He was like, "No, new season, I'm gassed."
You know what?
Like,
you know what's good about it? It's like we've seen many narco stories and that type of stuff, and they're still fresh. But this one is from the point of view of females. But
oh,
it's not
sick.
Done in a. It's not done in a. It's not really like a cheesy cliche world. Yeah. Like it's real, and the two lead women are just. Mad, you'll believe it like it's so believable, because I only joined on the second season. I remember watching the first one just before I joined on. I was like, yo, these women are no joke. So it's nice and it's a fresh take because we haven't really seen anything yeah. like that. Usually it's, you know,
always the background characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like but that. This yeah. is nice to see them in the forefront and have made something that's believable. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's grounded in some sort of reality.
Yeah.
Like the Griselda Blanco and that. Because I only saw that yeah. cocaine. Was
hey,
it
yo,
cocaine
do,
Cowboys?
Do, 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 do. So you said Griselda, so.
Yeah, I had to let off the shots. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's loosely based around her, but yeah definitely catch them vibes.
But Butch, I wanted to talk to you more about production, about process, but then I realized that you have no interest in talking about that, so I'm
I
not going to ask you.
I think everyone would just fucking find it boring as shit.
So I'm not going to ask you.
So what? That. There is a part of snare and a shit. plugins.
What I would ask you is like,
got no life.
What I wanted to ask, which is more serious, is about some of these legends that you've worked with. That you know, what your experience. Obviously, you were good friends with Prodigy. Mm-hmm. You know, what was he like when you first kind of met him?
I mean, it was an interesting. I mean, the whole thing of meeting him was a kind of a very interesting time. I was like out in New York for the year, and me meeting Prodigy kind of happened by accident. So like, I had this night out drinking with one of my friends and he was puking, and I was looking after him, like went to the Bronx to drop him off, went to pay the cab. My passport was in the same sort of wallet thing, left it on the it was like a truck type thing.
Yeah.
Left it on the back seat, closed the door, and like maybe 2 minutes after he left, I realized that it was on the back seat, and I was like, ran after it, whatever. Anyway, so all my money was in there, all my cards and everything. Next day, I'm in Brooklyn. I'm feeling mad sorry for myself, and I bump into like a friend who I hadn't seen in like 2 years, a guy called Lord Nez. Was just like, you know, like explaining the story to him. And he was like, oh, I'm going to the Infamous Studios tonight. Prodigy's been asking about you, like... Shh. Like, come pass through. And I was like, I haven't got any money. Like, what are we going to do? And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to get a ride. And then, you know, like, if you need any food or anything, I've got my EBT card on me. So I was drinking beers off an EBT card the day that I met it. But anyway, so I rolled into the studio. And I'd at the time, I'd been, like, I'm networking via, like, MySpace and shit with... Pretty much, I was trying to find
That's so long ago, man. Yeah, MySpace,
mate. Yeah. Oh,
shit.
Throwback. I'd been working with like every affiliate possible in the years before. Like, anyway, so I went in there. It was like I came home. I was in the studio. Like, it was like, everyone was like, yo, Pete, what's your, play some beats, bro. So I got the best like introduction to Pete ever. Like, Pete was like, oh, yeah, word. I'm like, yeah, go on, you're feeling your shit. And he'd be like, I'd done some stuff with, I'd done a whole tape with Yayo, or almost a whole tape with Tony Yayo at the time, called El Chapo. And he'd just come out of prison. Mm. And he was like...
He's saying some childhood heroes right now.
He was, like, he was working out to this, that Tony Yayo tape. And his favourite one was one of the ones that I did. So he was like, you know, Perception is Everything. That's my favourite song. Probably about 5 minutes after that, played some beats. And like the first three beats were like... We recorded all of them. Right. That was like, became like a track called Dome Piece, a track called Skull and Bones, and then another
Skull
track.
Skull and Bones is crazy, man. That's my favorite one.
That's your favorite? Mm. And then there was another track that actually never ended up making it because Banks don't record a track on it as well. Okay.
So. Yeah, see, but man's mentioning my favorite rappers, bro. Lloyd Banks is my. I'm gas right now.
I've done a load of stuff with Banks, man.
No,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's like my favorite. That's my personal favorite rapper.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Banks?
You know, it'd probably be one of his new ones. He just did a mixtape a couple years ago, Failure's No Option.
I was on that as well. I did tour stories and...
Bruh. Yo, you're gassing me up right now, cuz.
I'm trying to think what records were on there, man.
Yeah, You Wish
Paint
was
the Sky.
One of them. Yeah.
Paint the Skies, yeah.
No way.
You mentioned Sean Price earlier as well, and like, was Sean Price a real like an entry to the scene? Because obviously he had your back quite a lot. You made some bangers with him.
He definitely was like the first co-sign that was like really meant something. Do you know what I mean? Before that, I'd kind of worked with like other people, but they never really shouted me out like he did. Like when he was talking about doing Mike Tyson, and that was very highly anticipated. Like he was shouting me out, and he was shouting V-Don out, even though V-Don wasn't eventually on it, but. Like, he was excited about the music we were making, you know what I mean? So, again, first three beats I sent him were the ones that he, like, recorded. So
it's crazy, isn't it? It's almost testament to the fact that you should never send out like 30 beats to a rapper. Because as long as you tailor make like three bangers.
Bro, do you know what it was? It was, I think it's like what we were talking about earlier is like, you know, it depends on what context you're getting introduced in.
Yeah.
I got introduced via PH from Brooklyn Academy. Rest in peace as well.
Also, yeah.
And
Pumpkinhead, man.
He basically, we did a track together, and then that track was meant to be for Pumpkinhead's project. And Pumpkinhead like gave it to Sean Price because Sean Price loved it that much. Was like, "Yo, this is Mike Tyson. This is Mike Tyson." And that, that introduction was priceless. Like you know, like me just sending beats to Sean Price, he might have just like, "This is not as good." But like having had that one track, that like he really liked, made him super open to the other ones.
Yeah, of course.
So and then we ended up hanging out a lot. Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but we definitely hung out quite a bit over the years. Like, you know, before he passed or whatever, and you know, been up at his apartment in Brownsville even before his daughter was born and that, and you know, day drinking, listening to like Currency and Beats and all sorts of random shit, and then even like the late night 4 a.m. Brownsville like parties where like there's 20 guys in his kitchen and he's like listening to his verses and rewinding them and going, "Woo, I'm nice."
That's what I imagine Sean Price to have been, you know. But like, he was always like one of my favorites, purely because he was so fucking aggressive, man. And he had the Freddie Fox like kind of anger and bars and like whatever. Yeah, but
the humor, I think, was also the thing, you know, like. Definitely had a lot of humor. I mean, he said some ridiculous things. He had a bar on the Battering Bars track that I did with him in PH, and he goes, "I throw through pizza shop windows, right? Throws people through pizza shop windows." I'm not gonna say the N-word. And first time he played me that, he stopped it and was like, "Yo, I really did that." rewound it.
I can see him doing that.
And he could have done like the comedy, like for sure.
And of course, you worked a lot with Exhibit as well, like someone, you know.
Yeah, man, that's he's part of the reason I'm out of here, man.
You went fishing with Exhibit. I saw photos of that shit, and
he loves his fishing.
So
man.
Jealous.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Exhibit's great dude, like. Yeah. If he messes with you, he really messes you. You know what I mean? So, ultra talented son. His son is dope too.
Yeah,
Trey Capital.
When Prodigy passed last year, no?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, that blew my mind, man. Because he's sickle cell. Right? My older brother has the same thing going on. So when I saw that, because it was just out of the blue.
It's sad though, man. It hit me though. Yeah. Like I knew he was living his good life. He wasn't partying really. He was like, you know, eating healthy. He was working out. It hit home hard as well because like I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't seen him for a minute. But we talked a couple times on text like in the last year of before that. So it kind of made me feel like shit. I've got to make more of an effort with people that I care about and you know what I'm saying, like people that have had like some sort of impact in my life or whatever, you know what I mean.
Definitely, it definitely makes you reevaluate a lot when you lose someone that you're close to.
I mean the same thing with Sean really. I mean, like, we hadn't really talked for a bit. We kind of longed each other out on LinkedIn a few times, and so I was just kind of like, "All right, well, never mind, whatever, we'll link up one day." None of this is like permanent, you know what I mean? Obviously, no, we know that, but you know what I mean? You kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
And people in there, you know, in the prime as well, you know, it's fucking frightening, man. We were just talking about, both of us were separately, all of us were talking about the Bourdain thing. Fucking hell. And that, like, even though I didn't know him, I'm an addict for his shows. And that shit is just fucking, it blew my mind, man. Like that, honestly.
Beyond food shows as well, isn't it?
Beyond food shows.
Entertaining, you know, political, on a cultural level. Yeah.
Like someone put it perfectly the other week. He stood up for the cuisines that had been othered by Western white society, and by doing so, he stood up for the people that had been othered because, you know, he stood up for their culture and like the things that surrounded it. You know, he'd go to places that people, you know, would think were horrible or dirty. You know, we were just watching the episode where he went to Ethiopia, and he's there just like, you know, showing you a side of Ethiopia that everyone just thinks is one way.
Did you see the one where he was in Palestine? That was
amazing.
I really gained a lot of respect for him for that, you know what I mean?
Like he's rest in peace Bourdain, and let's something happier.
death.
Wait, so you, what was your first film? You're in Ill Manners, right?
Yeah.
Is that how you know Ed Skrizzle?
Yeah, Mr. Skrizzle, yeah, Scrine. Yeah, Ill Manners was the first. What was that? 2013 it came out. That was mad though, because I had auditioned for that at like 19, moved to LA, and then 2 years later, they started to make the film. So I went back to shoot it, and that's, you know, where I met Ed and all those guys there. But crazy experience, but still one of the best of, like, that film was amazing, man. I mean, just shot in my hometown.
You had all the lads, like,
it was literally shot in Forest Gate, and I'm from Forest Gate, so it was. Fuck. Even some of the cuts where they're running on Forest Gate High Street and then they pop out in Manor Park. I'm like, yeah, that's not true.
I find that all American films piss me off for that shit, man. Yeah. They don't understand. You know, they go underground in like Finsbury Park and then like 2 seconds
pop
later,
out later in the middle.
Hillingdon. How did you even do that?
Movie magic, man. That's the movie magic.
Suspend your disbelief in that. Yeah. But what was it like working with, because you're good friends with Ben or Plan B.
Yeah.
And what was it like working with him on his, I guess his, not, it wasn't his debut because he did the short before that, right?
Yeah, so, you're right. It wasn't, he'd done the short. This was his debut feature, but he shocked me, man. Like, I mean, his music is, you know, he's a damn genius at what he does. But when he was moving into film, I'm like, okay, we'll see how this goes. But he knew exactly what he wanted, down to the writing, down to the directing. He was in the editing. I'm like, he's a super talented dude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And he was great as well, because, I mean, I got to work with my brother and then people you know from growing up, like Ed, and then he used so many local people in it. It was amazing, man. Real talk.
Yeah. You did a song with him as well back in the day.
Yeah, for MK's album.
Plan B was grinding for a minute. I remember I was about 17 years old one time, and I was friends with his brother Rupert, and we were close because we went to school, and he was like, listen, come out, support my brother's show. It was in Shoreditch or something like that. That was the first time I saw him, and he did stuff from the first album, like Kids, Charmaine, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy, bro? Yeah. Well, he lives in the ends. And this was, even after that, he still didn't blow for at least like another 5-6 years. Like, his grind and persistence was mad.
And he always had a little bit of the alternative thing about him, because he had the guitar and he did, you know, he wanted to do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
He always was saying fuck you to everybody.
Yeah.
His own label. It's like whoever it was. It was like,
and he kind of came out with a different visual. It wasn't like, you know,
oh, the no good video.
Yeah,
with
no, exactly. It was stop motion.
Yeah.
What I wanted to as well ask before the end of the first half of this is, because you're both, I mean, we've all had our own LA experiences in one way or another. Butch, I know you've been back and forth here through the years, and now you're here permanently. I've been back and forth here through the years, and, you know, Nick, now you've been here for a long fucking time.
Riding the bird.
You know what I mean? You guys must have had some ridiculous LA actual, like, moments where you turn around and go, fucking hell, that is so ridiculously annoyingly LA. You know, like,
Which ones?
I'll start it off. I was in my Uber pool last couple of weeks ago, because you know, Uber pool is hilarious over here.
And it's great.
You know what I mean?
Great way to meet women.
Yeah. Really is.
You have met quite a lot of women via Uber. Can we talk about that on the podcast?
Oh shit! Good point. It's not.
A lot of friends.
Yeah, friends.
A lot of friends. So I was in an Uber pool, and I can't remember where we were driving, somewhere through Hollywood. I think it was down like nearby Hollywood Forever, like the cemetery. The traffic was bottlenecking on my side of the street, and I could see up ahead there was like flashing lights. There was tons of fire engines, a couple ambulances, and shitloads of fucking police, right? Cordoned off everything, so it was all in one lane, and we were moving at a snail's pace. I'm like, oh shit, must have been a shooting, man. Oh my god, like, there's so much police here, it's crazy. Middle of the day, bear in mind, maybe 1 p.m. We get past closer and closer, you see it's a construction site, right? It's a huge construction site, and I see a crane in the distance, like a fucking huge, like, ridiculous, like, building site crane there. And as I get closer, I slowly see there's a cop slowly climbing up the crane, right, which is fully erect, I guess you'd call it, a fully erect crane. He's climbing up it, and at the top on the, what do you call it, the fucking the claspy thing, whatever the mouth of the crane is, right,
The head, cuz.
The head of the fully erect crane.
Crane, yeah.
There was this guy, completely naked, sat on the end of the crane, just eating an apple. Yeah, I've seen
it. Like, would be more LA if he was like eating a kale salad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point. Good point. Holding his headshots.
Yeah, holding his headshots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's proper. That's proper real. Nick, I'm guessing you've had a lot in the acting world. Yeah.
You know, it mostly comes like there's a weird dynamic here. There's like I feel like the people who are from outside who come here,
yeah,
come and get gassed in the whole LA thing. Yeah. But the people that actually live here, it doesn't faze them. But I feel like there's this weird thing where you can get lost in the bubble and cloud that LA does have. Hmm. But most experience I had with just those type of
females.
The other day, it was only out the other day, man. This girl, so she come over, didn't say a word, nothing. Yeah. I'd seen her earlier. I'm like, oh, she's cute. Next minute, she comes over now, and she's walking towards us. She's with two of her girls. They get to the bar, and she just turns and goes, "Oh my god, it's my girl's birthday. Would you want to buy her a drink?" I was like,
"What?"
What?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, and then my boy went straight to his phone because he was like, "Fuck that shit, I'm bored." And she was like, "Oh, because your phone is so more important." That's literally what she said. Yeah. And I was like, "Wait, you just basically begged for a drink for your brethren. Like, it's her birthday. You know her. Buy her the damn drink. Like, what's that got to do with us?"
Yeah.
Like, maybe if we had a couple minutes conversation, yeah, we would have offered a drink. She literally just walked up and was like, "So you're going to buy her a drink?"
What?
Yeah, crazy. That part of it, I'm like, there's that element to it, and then there's like, fucking I feel like LA is the craziest yin and yang.
There's a lot of like mad entitlement that I think comes from moving to LA. Like, you know, I told you the story the other day. I probably mentioned it to you, but I was at a party with a female friend of mine that, like, you know, just totally my mate. Like, I was out with my mate, and you know, this A&R from like some major label just came across, and she goes, "Oh, this guy, he's a bit of a dick, man. He's going to be weird with me. I can tell, like, you know." So he just ignored her and just came over to me and like put his hand on me and was like, "Oh man, you smashing tonight, bro?" About my mate. And I just like lost my shit, man. I was like, "Bruv." And I was like, I just got so upset that he was so like mad entitlement.
You've got to get used to that. I don't think that's just an LA thing. I think it's just
it's just the industry. A&Rs are fucking cunts.
A&Rs for the most part are bastards.
Major label people are cunts. And the thing is, like, now I've got to that stage where I really don't give a shit if I say it on a podcast or if I say it in public or to an A&R.
Yeah, but
because I'm not.
But bro, they don't make it. Let's just be honest. Like, most A&Rs don't really make it happen. There's a few that are really the people that are like,
they make cocaine happen. That's what they do. Oh no, sorry. They steal cocaine.
Bro, I was at a studio session. You know, like the A&R nameless, but this guy was also from Europe, and it was like, and he was like, "Oh, I hear a. I'm not going to do the accent because otherwise it'd be obvious who it is." Mm-hmm. I hear an English accent. Like, so how are you out here? And I was like, "Yeah, I got my EB1 green card or whatever," and he argued with me for like 10 minutes that I didn't have a green card and that I had a visa. Right. And I was like, "No, mate, I've definitely got the green card." It took me like fucking a lot to get it. He's like, no, you don't have it. And then like when I showed him the actual thing itself, then he like turned back facing me and then talked to the other guy that was in the session for the rest of the time.
What a fucking prick, man.
I was like, I've got nothing to prove to you. Just because you ain't heard of me don't mean that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what the
I don't understand.
I don't know. I think it's just
strange.
Because of the illusion that LA puts out there, as well as attracting some real talented, dope fucking artists, it attracts some shit too.
Yeah.
I think the people that come here for the gas, that's what it is. Yeah. There are people that really do come here for the whole like facade of everything, and they think that the facade shit is really real. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, that's really popping. This isn't, you know, what you do isn't really popping because you don't, like, you know what I mean? I ain't heard of you. How could you be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why it's so important in LA to find people that are just regular people that are just safe.
That was the hardest part about moving here.
Yeah.
Was those first 2 years was finding.
I feel like there are a lot of real people out here.
Yeah, no, it is, because eventually after being there a while, now I got a good you know, I got a good few people who...
Did you move here without knowing anybody?
Yeah, no, I moved. I didn't know anyone. So at first I was like...
That's fucking brave as well, man.
That's mad brave to do that.
I mean, it was weird, man. I always, for some reason, just had this thing about LA. Even before I knew I was going to do acting, I remember being a kid and watching movies and being like...
Crip walking.
Yeah, no, but you know the Still D.I.E. video? Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, yo, if I ever go to America, that's my city. I don't know why, but I knew that was my city. Because I had friends and they were all New York. Every of them was like, nah, East Coast. I was like, nah. Once I saw them bouncing rides and the...
Same, man.
9.5 plus 4 pennies. I was like, yeah, that's my city, man.
Yeah, there is that. I think you're totally right. Like, more than what I joked about at the beginning, the 90210 and all that, like, it was more listening to DJ Quick, Battle Cat, you know, like, I was chatting to you about Frederick earlier, like, all of the West Coast, like, originators.
I mean, I always liked West Coast hip hop, but at the same time, bro, like, I'll be honest, it wasn't somewhere that I wanted to move until I actually first came out here on a trip, like, on a business shipment, and like, I was like, nah, this is way better than New York for me. Yeah. Way better than, like, because that was the other option. Was like, I'll move to New York. Most of my network was over there.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, all the stuff that I managed to do in that, like, week and a half that I was here. Like, literally, I would meet people that were like way beyond what I'd already done, and they'd be cool to just link tomorrow. Like, they just want to link tomorrow, and they'd actually stick to it.
Yeah they would.
Whereas, like, You know, in New York, like, people are like, yeah, go up, word up. And then, like, you know, like...
That's my problem with
London. Aye, son,
word up, aye.
That's my problem with London, is that people in London get the impression, you know, DJs, producers, rappers, whoever it is, they get the idea in their head who they think you are, what kind of music you make, what kind of thing you do, and that is it.
Let's be honest, as Brits in LA, it's definitely a good thing, because... For some reason, like, people in California think that British people are, like, intelligent or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Got to thank our hometown for that. I don't know what that UK did, but around the world.
Magic dust. I know. I don't know what it is.
Fantastic, man.
Yeah, man.
Shit average in fucking London.
That's the same. Go back and I'm like, oh, shit, just back to normal.
I'm a London 5. I'm an LA 9.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Not mad at that.
Yeah. Like, so our humor is like, we can... One time, me and my boy was arguing. He's from England, and we was like, we was ripping each other, like, real deep. Mm. But it was casual. Like, no one was getting their feelings. Like, and my boy, who was standing there, American guy, was like, oh, yo, calm down, man. Like, yo, that's, you shouldn't be saying that shit, man. Like, y'all are friends and all of that. And I was like, no, man, this is just banter. Because, like, he gets that in the morning, evening, and afternoon. He loves it. It was weird. I would see his face, like, we would say something real bad, and he'd be like... And I'm like, man, it's a regular Tuesday, bro. It's cool.
He fucking loves it, that slag.
Yeah, exactly. All that type of stuff. Slag.
He fucking loves it. I find that the word cunt over here is so beautifully powerful, but not just because the usual thing that, you know, sure, everyone is frightened by that word, but then also the other side of it, when people over here embrace the word cunt, it's still not an average thing for them to say or be around. So they'll be like, oh, I love it when people say the word cunt. It's my favorite word. Oh my God. I love how Brits just say it all of the time.
You sound like you're Irish or something, bro. What accent is that?
Hello there. I love it in LA when you say the word cunt.
Oh, yeah.
It's so lovely. Oh,
I love your cunt.
Oh, the cunt.
I hear a fucking cunt.
But yeah, no, it's a fucking fantastic word.
I didn't even know cunt meant a woman's fucking...
You didn't
private.
Know?
No, way. Until I moved here. I just thought cunt was what you call your boy when you love him. Nah.
I just thought
you say your boy when you love him.
Have you never watched Fake Cop or Fake Taxi? That's just like basically full of it.
No. I was more on the back.
You fucking little cunt. You love it in your cunt, you slag.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Fake Taxi.
No idea.
The
American version is Bang Bus.
Bang Bus. Do they still even film Bang Bus? And
yeah,
if they,
I think
do,
they do,
where are they filming it?
Actually, Florida.
Florida. Florida. Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that's a perfect opportunity to take I always say tradition. It's not a tradition. It's just the reality of the piss break.
The
halftime piss break before we come back and
half-time.
Do the shot.
Get the oranges out.
Get the oranges out. All right. stressful. It's so, look, I got to say, because like it, podcasts are a moment in time.
Checking your emails while you're doing
this? No, I've got something better, mate. yeah, and also I'm checking my emails.
is that an email from Busta Rhymes?
Hey, okay, what me and Busta do in our own time is not even business. Okay. It's a little bit of an event. It'd be really hard to read an email from Busta Rhymes. Just so many words.
I think he writes his emails like that.
He does. 100% he does. Welcome back to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 3 of season 2. And I just have to let people know the context. I feel like podcasts, you know, this, they're a moment in time. It captures a moment. And I'll be very honest with you, in Los Angeles right now, just in case you thought this was Los Angeles near Durham, it's not. We're in Los Angeles, California.
Wait, there's one in...
It's Beverly Hills near Norwich.
It's Beverly Hills near Norwich. There's a heat wave and it's fucking hot, man. It's not like your bullshit English heat wave that I'm really jealous I'm not there for right now. So I'm taking out and taking the piss.
We have, baby.
It's like 56 degrees. So anyway, so what we're doing is a tradition. we've got a tradition. Ooh, on the Thanks for Trying podcast of having I just spilled it.
Yeah.
It's only a little baby half shot.
You didn't see me go to the toilet, then I was swaying, cuz.
Jeez. You're about to be swaying more.
Yeah.
Here's the tradition.
That's what you get for working out, bro.
Cheers to the heat wave, you know what I mean?
Cheers, boys. Here we go.
Oh man, it's only tiny. It's only fucking tiny, mate. All right.
That's what she said.
It's the motion in the ocean.
Exactly. It's not my fault.
I can lend you a pair of tweezers if you want.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, sure. What I really need is one of those people that can write my name on a grain of rice. Maybe they could help me ejaculate. I wanted to say before we go into, which I'm really excited about, I'm not actually, it was all a ruse. I wasn't really checking my emails. I was actually getting up. My segments.
Oh, the segment.
The segments. Hold tight, the segments. Yeah. Before then, it's because he mentioned offhand, it's like all that exercise, all those things you do, Nick. Mm-hmm. But I said that really, really like I was angry. Nick. But Nick. I saw you like drop kicking, like I saw you fly kicking on Instagram the other day. Like,
as you do.
What? I mean, that's just frightening, man. What the fuck? You do martial arts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What kind?
Taekwondo, but just a couple of years I've been doing a bit of Muay Thai.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know what? It was when I moved there though, it was, you had to fill your day with time, with stuff to like, otherwise you'd go insane. Yeah. So I had moved there at first and thinking, I remember leaving the ends and I was like, boy, it's going to be 2 months, I'm going to be Will Smith. Mm. Cut to like a year later and it was like, nothing was going on.
Yeah.
So it was actually my dad who was like, go in there and you know, just give yourself something to do. And I just fell in love with it, man. Like, I feel like in acting a bit more, like you can write your stuff and that, but you're always kind of waiting for, especially starting out, waiting for someone else to give you the
start. Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's the same in music. Yeah.
So with the martial arts, it was nice to, something you can take into your own hands. And the more you trained and the more you went in, the quicker you would see progress and you could really, it was something that you was in a bit more in control of. So it was a nice balance from just auditions and nothing happening to going in and being like, okay, I got my black belt. Okay, now I'm going to go for this.
Progression.
And you can see it too, which is nice because sometimes I feel like it's with acting, I'm not sure about what it's like with music, but with acting, I feel like it's hard to gauge progression as much when you haven't, before you book that thing that really shows.
For me, it's progression 100%. Purpose is a big thing that I struggle with on a daily basis being a musician. You know, I think, what am I actually doing today? What is my reason for being here? You know, because there's no structure. You don't have a 9-to-5. You don't have like projects that then when you succeed in them, you might get a promotion. You don't get any of that shit that people might get on a day to day. You don't get a guaranteed check. But more and more, I think that the check is not even part of the issue
I think it's harder for artists as well because there's like a cookie cutter version of life that's been made for everyone, which is like more so the 9-to-5 and that style. There's nothing for really an artist. So there's like this way of being like, you know, you graduate school and you go to university and then you get a job and then you work till you get a family and you have retirement. Yeah. Whereas artists are like a whole different type of people and that regime doesn't fit us. So I was falling in the same trap of like, "Oh, I only worked for an hour today," and then I'd feel shit about myself because I'm like, "Oh, you know, society says you should work 9 to 5," and then I started to realize I'm like, they're trying to put everyone in this one box when humans are like, there's so many different styles and different cultures and different people that there is no damn one way to live life.
And it's also, like, happiness and fulfillment is just so much more than anything else. And this is what we were talking about, Bourdain, you know, with, you know, you had Kate Spade, you have Robin Williams, you have all these people that have all of the money, but not just all of the money, all of the success, you know, you could ever imagine doing everything in their wildest dreams that they could, you know, they could go to a TV network or a fashion company or whoever it is and just get whatever they want to do creatively and it's fine. So the more I see stuff like that happening and these people still commit suicide, you start to think, you know what, actually feeling like you are succeeding in your day, in yourself, is so much more important, and feeling like you have purpose and you're part of something.
You've got to pick, I mean, you've got to pick what you do wisely. I think, you know, you have to find that balance of, like, all right, cool, what's going to pay me versus what am I really enjoying, you know what I mean? Like, and also what's going to sell me as well. Like you said, and there's no handbook for what we do. So it can be a daunting thing, kind of diving in the deep end. And but really the only way to like get to it is just to do
dive
that.
Dive in the deep end,
And then you have to find your balance yourself. And some people don't ever find it. They like catch a little break and then they ride a wave that maybe isn't honest to themselves or whatever. I think, I feel like that's one good thing about me at my age. Like, I'm 36 and like, it's taken me a long time to get to where I'm at.
And you don't look a day over 35, which is amazing.
I definitely don't look a day over 46. So 46, that's a beautiful look. I mean, in terms of like, that's a good thing about like doing things like at a later age, maybe a bit more balanced because you've been through things. Yeah. For instance, like hearing stories from certain artists that I've known in the past that have like, you know, I can only imagine the same for actors, like that have, like, you know, when they start like getting big roles at 19 or like, you know, they get lost in it. And I think that's what we're talking about that, like, you know, the like the gas. Like they get lost in the get lost in the sauce, you know what I mean? And they just end up, they never end up developing functional personalities. They're just forever, they're like these sport children that you know what I mean, don't grow up.
Because I remember when I had moved out here, I was, 21? And I was just not in a cocky way, but I just had a confidence that I was like, I know I'm going to do this. I know it's going to happen. But I thought it was going to be a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But now that I really only got my first job that I could say, okay, I'm going to live off this for the next year, 2 years at 28. But I'm so thankful that it happened then, because if it would have happened at 20, my mind wasn't just ready.
No, you'd Macaulay Culkin yourself.
Yeah, no, I would have. And then it was like, I developed this whole other, I wasn't scared of failure anymore. Like, it was more of an invitation to work harder or find another avenue or find another dynamic, which now that I'm this age and things are taking off, like, now I'm not scared of those things. Whereas at 21, it was
you find your balance in other ways. It's not like you're not trying to find validation in being hot. And that's like, then that's your validation. And the minute that isn't there anymore, like, you basically like go on a decline. And I feel like that's basically the problem with a lot of, you know, whenever you see certain people like have massive problems, like with drug problems and that kind of thing, it's because they haven't found their balance. I mean, don't get it twisted, I like to have a little drink, so I know that you know, I know that's my
we dabble
exactly
I like to rub catnip into my eyes.
Me too.
Yeah
I like to just huff asbestos a few times a week.
Pez is a drug, right?
Pez.
Addicted. Well, more important than all of everything we've said today, and to be honest, more important than anything anyone's ever said in life, is my segments. More important than the Ten Commandments.
Ooh,
I've got my first segment. So for people that don't know, I mean, this is episode 3 now, so new listeners, old listeners, casual listeners, in fact, people that are just walking by and someone's just left it on accidentally on shuffle. This is called Under the Patio, the name of my mixtape. That, who knows when this will come out? It might be old by then. It might have just come out the month before. It might, who knows? Just listen to the mixtape. I don't give a fuck. It might come out at Christmas. Might come out in 2020. I don't give a shit.
Sick.
It will still bang. That's the most important bit of it. Under the Patio, out now. This segment is called Under the Patio. I will suggest to you
20 Gabba tracks.
20 large, hard
Gabba tracks.
Erect Gabba tracks. I'm going to suggest to you, my two intrepid guests, a number of scenarios, a number of types of people. And you will tell me the type of capital punishment or not, type of punishment you think these people should get for their crimes, whether they deserve just a slap on the wrist, a mere pathetic slap on the wrist, or whether they deserve
off
to be
with their head.
Off with their head, or to be buried under the patio, Brookside style. Okay, bro, here we go.
Brookside things. Yo, that was my.
Here we go. I got a few here. Okay, I'll start with a nice and easy one. People that shop in the M&M store, what do you think about them? Who goes in there? What are you buying in there? If you want a packet of M&Ms, you go to the fucking newsagent, right?
So you go to get those coconut M&Ms.
No, you can't even get... Look, I went in there once. You can't actually buy international flavors of M&Ms in there. So what is the point of going in there? Were you buying memorabilia? This isn't Disneyland. What are you buying? I see bare people with bags. So what are they doing in there? What are you looking for when you go in the M&M store?
M&Ms, I'm guessing.
What are you finding when you come out?
M&Ms, probably.
I think they find anything.
Chocolatey M&Ms.
Chocolatey, yeah. This is nice, simple. What is the punishment for people that support this infrastructure, this ecosystem of the M&M store? I feel like I would put them under the patio straight away, but you know, I'm not as a nicer man as some people.
Maybe in between.
Okay,
a couple of weeks on remand or something.
Okay, cool. So to jail.
Yeah, just right, that's yeah, a good, that's taste a it for a couple of weeks. If you come out and you still want to go to the M&M store.
No, I think they should send them straight to Felts, where they should get death by M&Ms by the inmates from Felts.
Chinese water torture, but just drop M&Ms on their foreheads.
Into their eyes.
Chinese water torture, but with melted M&Ms. Yes.
Forced to have M&Ms in their eyes.
I'm sorry, man. I'm getting really angry about this. Why would you go to the I don't understand. People are buying like...
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, Skittles is huge. Skittles has got the same vibe.
There's one in New York as well. Skittles ain't got a shop.
Well, they've got like... When I came over here, there was just flavors on flavors on flavors. And for me, I was like, all right, yeah,
just
okay.
Just because the packaging looks similar doesn't mean that they've got...
But then I got a boy who's obsessed with the
I don't mind the different flavors. I used to be like, you know, a snack addict so far that...
Are there even any different flavors of fucking... M&M's.
There's so many. Come on, man.
Flavor. I mean, I know they got like pretzel,
coffee nut. They got all sorts, man. There's amazing flavors. There's birthday cake flavor.
You want to bust that coffee nut?
There's many erect flavors of M&M's that I fucking love. Like, look, I've not got a problem with good flavors, different flavors of snacks. Like, I like going into shops and trying all the newest shit. I started a Tumblr once that was called Snacks Deductible, and I was just putting up all the different pictures of snacks from around the world in different flavors. That is not my problem. My problem is the fact that they've made an entire storefront filled with what exactly? I don't even know. Here's the next one. Okay. Okay, let's go on to something a bit more tough. People.
Under the patio.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Under the patio.
Oh, that's a nice easy one there.
Yeah.
All right. People who don't tell you that you've got some shit in your teeth.
Yeah, that's fucked up. No, that's fucked up.
Well, I feel like I've constantly got shit in my teeth, so.
Actual shit.
Yeah.
I mean, entire turds.
That's a weird one. If I've been talking to you for about an hour and then I go away and look and be like, this motherfucker didn't tell me nothing. Yeah. But if it was a 2 minutes in passing, then I might let you off.
Yeah.
If it's dark, maybe.
Yeah.
Throw them in a bonfire.
A bonfire?
Probably, yeah.
That's a good one.
And then poke them with a fork.
Okay. They have the opportunity to escape if you've thrown them in the bonfire, so they could just
but it'd be
second degree.
Well, I suppose it's the same with bats in the cave, a little stray booger in the nose is the same.
True.
And I ain't even gonna lie, I've let a few of those slip.
Yeah.
I've let a few of those get out into the world without saying anything.
That is understandable. There's also a bit of a, you know, it's a social etiquette. How do you tell someone, especially someone you don't
know? Yo, fam, you got some shit in your teeth, cuz.
Hey, bro, your teeth are looking magical.
You're missing a tooth, bruv.
Looks like a leprechaun's taking a shit in your mouth, bruv. Like, what's going on? Like, how do you, yeah. how do you approach that?
Or those people who get it for you.
Yeah. You put your finger.
Those can go under the patio.
In a stranger's seat.
The ones who get up in your nose.
People who put their finger in your mouth when you've just met them.
Did either your mums ever do the thing where she spat on the tissue if you had anything on your face? Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, bro, I used to want to put her under the patio when she did that. I swear to God. My mum spitting on a fucking tissue and then taking it off.
Because it's warm.
Oh, bro, it's disgusting. And then you've got the smell of the spit. Oh, bro, it's disgusting.
The smell of the spit on your face, caked.
Yeah.
In fact.
Shout out to Mumsy Butcher, though.
Yeah. Shout out to Mums Butcher. Okay, all right.
Linda Valley the Don.
This is a very quick one, very easy one. Super, super easy. Super casual, in fact, for the casual listeners. Walking past while their friends have it on shuffle. Okay. The people who work at Apple that made it really easy to accidentally click video call on WhatsApp and so hard to immediately cancel it.
Under the patio,
ASAP. Straight away.
ASAP.
Why would you
Maybe
do that?
Maybe a firing line.
Yeah.
That is a firing line situation. What? Yeah.
And then pushed off a cliff. Or no, a firing line off a cliff. And then, you know, with like some really sharp
drawn cord. Yeah.
And then you should then on their phone accidentally click
video call
using their dying hand.
Yeah,
and use it to accidentally click
video call them falling down the cliff.
So all of their friends.
I don't
have
know.
To
I reckon they did that deliberately, though.
You think so?
Sometimes it'll pocket dial FaceTime a person, and it's like, you could have made this just a little more.
Make it more difficult.
Yeah, like maybe click an extra screen to get to FaceTime.
And also, are you sure you want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Because who really wants to FaceTime? Like, I don't trust anyone that wants to FaceTime me.
Especially all the time. If you don't...
No.
Yeah, no. I'm not bad at
I don't life. Want to see... I barely want... I said this on the last podcast.
I barely want to talk to anyone on the phone.
Precisely. Yeah, I said this on the last episode that I would happily have a phone that had no call function.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to talk to anyone on the phone.
Me too.
But then it's also just as annoying people constantly texting you as well.
True.
We sound like such grumpy fucks.
No, that's fine. This is the point.
I'd much rather to actually hang out with somebody. Like, I'd much rather like have small conversations.
Tiny ones.
On text.
Teeny
like,
tiny.
Tiny, like few lines. Do you want to hang out next week? Yeah, cool.
Yep. Mm.
Then we see each other in person and then we don't have thousands of text conversations. Then the next time we see each other, we talk properly.
Yeah.
Like me and you don't like do these long conversations, do we?
So what's the point?
Exactly.
I'd rather see you in person.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you okay? Yeah. You haven't died?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Is your foot still got gangrene?
Still got the gangrene? Cool.
Has your mum still been flying kites?
Yeah, still picking the things off your face with the wetted tissue. Sure, cool. Fine, everything's normal then.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Okay, that was a short little teeny weeny one. All right, we'll do one more. We'll do one more. Okay. Well, actually, you know what? Maybe two more.
Oh shit! Two more.
This one's maybe it's a bit. I don't know if it's a bit. I'll tell you. The preamble. Okay, I was on a flight. I was on a flight here, and all I could hear, was this two people sat next to each other, and this woman was talking to the man. She was talking to him about how she made this blog, right, for date nights for couples, where they could go, all of this stuff. Okay, that sounds really nice. I'm not gonna lie. That's really a pleasant thing to have made, right? But she spoke about it for the whole of the 3-hour flight, right? The entire of the flight. I never heard his voice once. Matter of fact, I never saw him leave the flight. So did he actually survive the conversation? I don't know. So the question to you is, people that sit next to you on the plane and talk.
Under the patio. Hung, drawn, and quartered. Slammed against the wall. brain shot out. All of that
shit.
That's the worst.
I'm
hollowed out. I want to eat breakfast out of
you
their,
see them headphones
their brain.
You go on, I come on with my headphones.
With the headphones
I don't
on.
Ever take
what if someone?
I'm a perpetrator
you?
Of this.
Yeah,
I talk
then,
to people
then they get
all
the one
time.
Ear. They get the one. Excuse the solo, me. What's sorry. Up? Okay, cool.
Sorry, yeah. I don't speak English, mate. Yeah, no. Sorry.
I'm a perpetrator.
I'm
you
the
guys
worst.
Kill me. Like I'm the worst. I actually talk to people. It depends. If somebody looks like, oh, it might be somebody I might talk to. Or if I'm in a fucking middle seat, that's the worst shit.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I can do nothing but actually, so I can get a bit more elbow room. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm like, I've got broad shoulders. You know what I mean?
I actually had a tactic on a flight recently. I think on a flight to Australia last year.
Did you like
year.
Fall asleep on another person?
Well, I didn't want him to be there. Yeah. So, and there was lots of other spare seats. Yeah. I just did all of the most antisocial things I could think of that he didn't even make it till takeoff and he'd left.
Yeah. Couple farts, couple burps.
Two farts.
Yeah.
Like started, did you know, talking loudly on the phone. Fucking like...
picking your nose and eating it.
Yeah, all of that. I went up to the toilet 3 times. Yeah. Just hadn't even taken off yet.
Left the piss. What, did you piss day in your fucking trousers as well?
Yes.
Sick.
Yeah, I pissed in his trousers.
It's his trousers.
Everybody's trousers got urine.
Excuse me, can borrow your underwear.
Urine deposits.
Excuse me, mate. Can I borrow your underwear? I'm in the middle seat. I can't wear mine.
Sorry, mine are a bit soggy. Do you know what word I like? Sodden. That's a good word. Sodden. Who says that? It's 2018.
Yeah.
Or 19. Don't know when the podcast is coming out.
Christmas time.
Please write back to me. Remind me. In your year.
P.O. Box.
In your year, are we still saying the word sodden? Who knows?
Yes.
I'm glad we all have consensus. I mean, the Uber pool is a similar thing. And I think when I start chatting to someone at Uber pool, I get very self-conscious that I think that the third person is judging us for talking. You know what I mean? Last underpay for the day. I'm not going to waste all my good material on you guys. You don't deserve it. So people, my last one, this is for you guys.
I already told you, man, under the pay,
you already know. People that say, what's happened to this country? Like in England, we didn't colonize the world, behead queens, have public flogging, have slaves. The entire history of racism, classism, and imperialism. When was it good?
Under the patio.
Under the patio. Straight away.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
What's happened to this country?
Under the patio.
What has happened to...
Matter of fact, under any sort of surface, dirt, sand, anything.
In the most violent of death.
Yeah. What's happened to this country? Buried alive.
I love the way that everyone looks at me as if I'm some sort of fascist. Yeah, well, you know, it's... not the same as it was. We used to be really English, you know what I mean? And nowadays, you know what I mean? It's all these foreigners and all that.
Back in the day.
Yeah. We used to be fish and chips. Now it's fish and fucking hummus, man. Yeah. I don't like it.
What happened in this country? Do you know this country was really good? Feudalism. That's when I liked it. We were throwing the piss out the windows. That's what I fucking loved.
Ooh, lovely stench of fucking piss, mate. Ooh.
Delicious time that was, mate. You know what I fucking loved? It when you had to ride a horse and cart and get potentially attacked to death by bandits just to go get some milk from the local cow. That's when I liked it. That was a really good time. Yeah. That was. What happened to this country?
Gone with the days.
What happened? Those are good times. What happened?
Those are great times.
Fantastic.
My granddad died for you to talk like that. Do you know that?
My granddad died of the plague.
Yeah.
Because England was so dirty and filthy so that you could be here. So there you go, under the patio. That was the end of that section. That was my segment. I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. We're going to go swiftly into section number 2, DOS, as they say in England.
Nowadays.
All right, so this one, you know, it's a working title. I like it, like changes every episode. Today it's going to be called Gallimafory of Swift Fundamental Questions for Humanity. Okay, I'm going to ask you Swift questions, and you can tell me how you feel about them. Can you truly love someone whose favorite TV show is 2.5 Men?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, is it?
That's fucking awful.
I mean, shit, I like Friends, so someone could not love me over that.
Look, I mean, it's very just average watching, isn't it? I'm not, you know. I mean,
it depends.
Yeah, probably. I probably could. Depends who it is.
You got to love them in the good and the bad.
And that is very bad, man. That means that Charlie Sheen is their favorite actor. You guys are on my side, but okay. All right, here we go. Next one. Can you truly love someone whose favorite restaurant is Pizza Express?
Yeah, Pizza Express is all right.
Come on.
Yeah,
if I love her, that means the cheapest dates all day, every day.
Bro, Pizza Express is actually kind of all right for where it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's better than Pizza Hut.
Oh, come on, but who's saying pizza? Who
if she said Domino's, and I'd be like, babes, get some class. But
yeah. Also, there's no Domino's shops, like stores, storefronts.
No, in the ends, they got a couple with a little...
No, they don't. What, where you can sit yeah, at a counter.
A little two-seater where I can sit down.
Yeah, you can sit in the front. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They got the one bench, you know.
Yeah, so that is a pretty romantic. Oh, you know, okay.
Pizza Express is all right, no?
Yeah, I thought that was high-end.
Yeah, high-end for that, what that is, yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm going to stay on this thing. I've got lots of them, but I'll stay on this
thing.
Can
you actually be in love with someone who appears for
No, but honestly, can you? Colour me surprised, man. I feel maybe I've learned something
today. It's like on a sort of Nando's level.
I've learned something
today. Right.
I feel like I've learned something today. Maybe I won't judge people for that. Yeah. But I tell you what I might judge people for. Can you love someone whose favourite film of all time is one of the Transformers franchise?
No, definitely can't, because that means that they're super young.
No, come on, the first Transformers film came out in the early 2000s.
The first one was dope.
Nah, they're all shit.
The first one was sick, but I'm talking about franchise, one of the...
Bro, I grew up on fucking 80s Transformers.
I missed... My older bro was like, he didn't dig it at all. He was like, nah, this ain't real shit. But I missed that. That's the only reason why I enjoyed
it. It's also because of the Transformers series, like, with the music was sick, and like, I don't know, it just didn't look like the real Transformers. The whole thing was fucking shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of superhero movies as well.
Yeah.
What would you got better recently?
What would you rather watch? A Transformers sequel or Schindler's List 2?
Schindler's List 2.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, just
with Transformers.
Okay, sure.
And Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Chuck Norris and David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah, with Liam Neeson. Oh,
great.
Just let him say any line from Taken and we're good.
Yeah. Well, yogurt. Unacceptable to eat with your hands?
Unacceptable.
Absolutely acceptable. I bathe in yogurt daily.
Yeah.
Don't even eat yogurt. I bathe in it.
How many sneezes in succession until it's okay to not say bless you?
3 and you're pushing it.
Okay.
Yeah. I would agree.
2, I got you. 3 is like, no, two, you better bless yourself.
Bruv, I got you for 2.
3's gone. Yeah.
2.
Yeah.
But 3, no.
Yeah. And then after that,
I always feel bad though, because I've been a serial sneezer before and I try and hide the more it goes on,
the
even more, because I'm like, I feel like I'm pushing it.
Do you feel like you moved to another room?
Yeah. I feel like I'm pushing it. I'm like, oh, 1 second, I'll come back.
What about if there's multiple people sneezing? Is that is the count separate? Or is it like 1, 2,
well, then,
three?
Then you just orchestrate the shit, didn't
you? I was going to say, I feel like then I want to get out like my dictaphone and start making a beat out of it.
Like
somebody's ill in the house.
Make it clap, fucking short.
Make it clap.
Yeah, okay. I'm into that.
You know,
I'm
that was a rhythm.
Just make a banger out of the sneeze ensemble, non-ensemble.
And they get, what was her name? Luma D on it.
Yeah.
She has the time. She has the time.
Yo, trust me. Healing told the shit out of that track.
That was a fucking banger.
Banger.
You know, I don't want to rinse all of my good stuff on you guys. Yeah. You don't deserve it.
What did she have? Like two? She had like 2 songs, really?
1 song?
Yeah, 1.
Literally.
But Fabulous's entrance to that track was deep. Because I remember when I first watched the video, he had his hat low and then they did the whole track and then he popped up from nowhere. And
wow. He was camouflaged.
Yeah, well, you know, he was hood camouflaged. He had a baseball jacket.
Somebody was trying to tell me that she's big in Romania or somewhere.
Is it?
And I was like,
he was just
and
in
I was
Romania.
Just there. I didn't hear no, uh-oh.
He was in Romania.
But somebody was trying to
really?
It
don't surprise me.
Somebody
it wouldn't
in New
surprise
York
me.
From the Bronx was trying to tell me she's
big in
Romania.
Was it Luma D in Fabulous's camouflage?
Yeah.
I heard Luma
even
D.
Busy.
You might remember from such songs as Uh-Oh, is big in Romania.
Why was she?
Are you sure that wasn't Luma D with Grant Mitchell's accent?
Yeah, I think Grant Mitchell was definitely involved.
Really apparently, Grant Mitchell's big in Romania too.
Yeah, he is.
I really hope so, man. I really, really.
He's
hope
massive
so.
In most countries. He's very big. Ross Kemp is. He's like 7 foot tall.
Yeah. Ross Kemp, what a hero!
Did you like that video?
I loved his video for England.
Legend. It means so much. March.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the grips of World Cup. Just to give you context of where we are,
1982.
When you're listening to this in 2020, whether
in
the word sodden is a word or not,
it'll come back.
It will come back.
They recycle everything.
I really hope so. Yeah. Sodden.
Football's already come home a few times this year.
Is. Yep.
We're recording this after the World Cup, and England have won.
Yes,
the World Cup.
Don't tell anyone.
We got
England have
link.
Lost to the World Cup. we actually, you know what? We're actually we're actually in a version of Schrodinger's World Cup right now. Here's another question. Here's another
part, super guy.
Here's another question from the Gallimafuri of fundamental questions.
Oh, you've used a few words. I'm gonna have to use the fucking dictionary on the sly.
Have a little
I'm
look.
I'm gonna say nothing. He's just. I'm like. Have a little look.
Here's a question from the compendium.
There you go again.
Of questions for humanity.
Yo, Siri,
long words.
Help me out.
Here's a good myriad of questions for humanity. So let's. okay, here's a recurring question I've been asking everyone. If you could eat one creature from a film or TV show, what would it be and how would you cook it? Usually I say it's the long dog from Neverending Story.
Tinkerbell.
One creature.
Okay.
Tinkerbell.
I mean, it's definitely mostly human.
With a bit of all-purpose seasoning, I feel like Tinkerbell was...
It wouldn't really fill you up, if I'm honest. Like, it's
no,
just
it's more like a, you know, more like an appetizer.
An amuse-bouche. That's what that
just
is.
Just open the palate, you know?
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. A little flavour.
To the nether realm. Yeah. Where was it? Never. Where would they go? Where would Peter Pan go?
Neverland.
Yeah, that's the shit.
Neverland.
Nether realm's like Mortal Kombat.
Nether realms.
I'll take her to my really nether realms.
Fucked up.
Oh yeah, she can go to
the,
my
oh
nether
yeah,
realms.
They went to the Netherlands and that is where Amsterdam was.
Yeah.
Fucking one of them.
Peter Pantaloons.
Elliot DeBock, do you have a choice?
I don't know, man. I'm quite into seafood, so Finding Nemo, I guess. just, you know what I mean, season it up nicely.
No, I feel like, on the grill, Nemo would have been.
Nemo on the grill.
Shit, you have Oscar too. What was the other one after Oscar?
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
You know what, I would, you know no, what, I think that's a really good, put Oscar the Grouch on a spit roast. Like, a good 24 hours.
Bro,
you know what I mean? A good 24 hours
cook.
On a spit
roast.
Slow cook. Yeah. You'd have to take a long time, like, taking all the hairs off and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I quite like the idea of Big Bird sometimes. I think Big Bird would be
slow
delicious. Yeah, rotisserie Big Bird.
He looks like he's full of shit, bro. I
think it's all
and
shit.
He's fucking green or blue
so
or
you can make
shit,
a good like, stew nah. out of the feet. He's got huge fucking feet, Big Bird. Yeah, just like fucking get them stewed up.
I'm not sure he's really a bird. He's got massive feet. He might be a bloke. I'm not sure he's
big bloke. It's big bloke.
Big bloke.
Big bloke.
Oi, my favourite character in Sesame Street.
He's big bloke.
Big yellow bloke.
big yellow bloke.
He's fucking lovely, that guy. Yeah. And delicious. And fucking delicious. All right, so I think that might be. I mean, I do have some others, but. I just got Christmas.
Go for it, man.
Christmas markets. I mean, they're not actually that good.
Christmas
markets,
like
you know, the ones they set up everywhere. You know, in fucking Belgium and fucking Germany
Birmingham.
And in South Bank
Birmingham.
Christmas market, Birmingham. They're not actually that. What do you actually buy from a Christmas market?
Tinsel.
You go to Pound Shop to buy tinsel, and you go
yeah,
there.
You're
and you
a
think,
hustler.
No,
that's what I like.
You don't. But listen, you go to the Christmas market. You're, oh, this is going to be lovely. Let's go on a nice.
Why are they always German
out.
As well?
They're always German. You go. Well, let's go.
Anyone listening to this is going to think I'm anti-German. I'm not really. I'm not.
You speak German.
Yeah, I do, and I was born in Germany. Weirdly,
he's born in Germany, so you can't be anti-German.
I'm not.
Fact. Sorry. Listen. So if you go to a Christmas market and you're like. Okay, let's have a lovely day out. Let's all go to, even Winter Wonderland, let's go there and have a lovely day out. And you go there and you get a fucking overpriced, like spiced wine or some shit.
Mulled wine. I hear that.
You go, I've just spent £30 on a fucking mulled wine.
Yep.
And I have not left with your artisan wooden birdhouse that you've tried to sell me. And then I'm going home. Nothing is good about a Christmas market.
Nah, it's just an opportunity to overcharge. I remember I went Winter Wonderland and the days of being broke as well. And it was like £5 for a hot chocolate. We're going to have to share that shit or go buy some Ovaltine or some Horlicks from
around. I mean, it gets very busy and shit. But I'm not going to lie. No, it's all right. Like,
yeah, the feel
it's
of
all right
it.
If you go there like once
when you
like,
got, when
every
you got
few
money.
Years. But it's not really not... It's not...
It's more the feel.
The busy days are whack. Like.
Yeah. I tried the ice skating rink when it was busy and it was just a madness.
I think ice skating is another thing that I think is entirely pointless.
Do you know what?
I like a bit of ice skating, man.
The fucked up thing is, right, so Dutch people love fucking ice skating. I grew up in Holland part of my life, right? And anytime there's even the smallest bit of ice, they like people go on the ice and then there's like all these like stories on the news like, yeah, people have died on the ice today and all this shit. They love the ice that much.
That they just...
I fucking hate it, man. I fucking hate ice. It's so whack.
Under
ice
the patio, skating. Straight away.
Straight under the patio, absolutely.
Ice.
with an ice skating.
With an ice skate in the head.
Yeah,
like,
just, that's it.
Gouge ice. Their yeah, eyes yeah. out.
On that, one, that one, I think I'd be buried under the patio. I do like a quick shh.
Oh, fuck off. Really? You know what's even worse than ice skates, though?
What?
Skeelers. Have you ever seen them?
No,
they're like
no, no.
The rollerblades that look like ice skates. Bro, they're so... No. No, man.
Skeelers.
Yeah, I like the low riders on low Venice riders. Beach. Yeah, yeah.
Like yeah. Fuck with that.
I fucks with that. Camden on Sea. That's what Venice Beach is.
Camden. Yeah. That have you ever seen the guy that description. Juggles yes, the...
That's what it is.
The yeah. chainsaw and the stuffed dog.
No.
He's been there for like 20 years or something. He's,
great.
Yeah, he's there like certain days in a week. He like juggles a chainsaw and has like a
yeah, the performance dog. There. I'm like, those guys, I've seen them guys who flip over like 10 dudes, call people from the audience and shit. No. They gotta make a killing though.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They gotta make, I mean, sometimes there's at least 200 people crowded around.
They should do it outside the Eminem store and they'll probably get a lot more of an audience. That's a perfect opportunity to round up episode 3 of season 2 of the Thanks for Trying podcast.
Oh, is it done already?
Thank you so much to my guests, yep, Nick and Elliot. Thank you. Thank you so much to my guests, B Butcher and Nick. Big up to Brendan. And shout out to all of you for listening to episode 3. Don't forget, drop me a review on iTunes. Tell me who you want to see on future episodes. And go online and listen to my last record, Under the Patio. It's out right now on Spotify and all of the fucking services that do streaming and downloading that you can imagine. You can even fathom. Go there, listen to it. Thank you. I'll be back next week for episode 4 and more boozy madness. Big love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.